like a ride on a rocket. It took us up. Didn't want it to stop, and it shook us up.
All right, here we are. And another thing. Back, back, back. So, I mean, I have a couple of things we can talk about. One of the things I was thinking of is feminist inspirations, but anything on your mind?
I'd love some feminist inspiration. I got a lot on my mind, but that's a topic I'm always happy to discuss.
Well, I was thinking in particular, like, who were your feminist inspirations when you were young, when you were a girl?
You want to know one that's kind of weird? Hmm. Well, for a girl, I remember the first time I saw Patti Smith.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so intrigued. I found her to be so alluring just because there she was with her armpit hair and her super androgynous look and her kick-ass sound. And I was really drawn to her because I think, and I couldn't really articulate it when I was young, but I liked that she just was who she was and still is,
mm-hmm.
and was, and didn't really care. And so for her, she didn't need men to tell her what was okay or to co-sign anything she was doing, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
And I loved the way she fascinated me, and I always looked up to her. And it wasn't until I was an adult, I was at one of the Bridge Benefit concerts. This was many, many years ago. And Patti Smith was on the ticket, and she came out and did her shit. And I was actually crying because I was just so moved with her, just her message, of course. But her freedom of expression was just, it was beautiful. And so I love her. And she's one of those kick-ass women who to this day does it for me.
Hmm.
Yeah. But then I have many, many more.
Yeah.
How about you?
Well, before I go into even anybody, you know, when you said making you cry, you know what song? I've heard it two times in the last week on the radio, and it literally brings tears to my eyes, and it never had before, but it's the song, Roar.
Oh, yeah.
What's her name?
I bawl when I sing it, Katy Perry.
Yes, thank you. I start getting all verklempt, and my throat gets tight, and that song just, oh my God, it just does something to me. When she starts the chorus, it's like,
oh my God, I just want to bust it out right now. So I was screaming that before the election because that was one of Hillary's fight songs.
Yes, yes, yes.
And I remember being in my shower just, I got the aisle! And I'm crying and fists are pumping. And then I was really crying. I couldn't listen to that shit for a while.
Yeah, well, it gives me hope, and it makes me just, I mean, that's kind of why I get so uppity when it comes to reproductive issues, you know, and I'm at the point in my life where I'm not going to have to worry about it anymore. I'm done. My body is not going to get pregnant, and I don't ever have to worry about birth control or abortion or anything, but I will fight so hard for every other girl because I had that option, and I want other women to have that option.
Absolutely.
But going back to, I mean, I had a lot, obviously, too, of the feminist inspirations. Just to name a few, I would say Jodie Foster, Lindsay Wagner, the Bionic Woman, my mom, and Judy Blume. Those are four that just come off the top of my head. But Jodie Foster and I had a lot in common, although she's like way smarter than I've ever been. You know, she's just so incredibly smart. But she was savvy. I was a savvy kid, and I got crude humor. I could appreciate it. And my father would kill me for saying this publicly, but this is, he never listens to my podcasts, and I'm sure he'll never hear this and another thing. But I don't know what the fuck was going on in his young mind, but he took me to see, after he had already seen it, he took me to see A Clockwork Orange when I was 5.
Holy
shit is right. And I couldn't take it. I had to leave the theater because, and the thing that made me I had to leave the theater because, or at the scene where, we got a phone call. I had to leave when somebody, I think it was a police officer, spit in whatever the guy's name's, the lead guy, I can't think of his name right now, spit in his face. Malcolm, what is it? Malcolm McDowell. I can't remember why I'm losing my train of thought today, and I can't remember why I even brought up but my father brought me to see this movie, and I can't remember why I brought that up. But in the end, I was a savvy kid. I understood. I wound up watching that movie on my own when I was 9, all the way through.
Oh my God!
I know, and that was just, it was on cable. We had HBO, and I just watched it one Sunday afternoon, and I took it in, and I could handle it. It was funny. At 5, I couldn't handle it, but at 9, I could.
Right. And well, you were savvy.
Yeah. And I had this thing, my parents always treated me like I was Kimberly and not a kid. And, mm-hmm. And because of that, I think just there was probably a natural inclination for me to, be the way I am. But I think the way my parents treated me, but my father also, he took me to see Animal House.
Me too.
And I used to stay up every Saturday night when Saturday Night Live came on with the original Not Ready for Primetime Players. And so I remember Jodie Foster hosted Saturday Night Live. And I just felt so, such a kinship with her. And mm-hmm. I kind of got her. And I still, to this day, love her.
I loved her from when I was, the first time I ever heard of her when mm-hmm. I was probably 5 or 6.
Yeah.
And she was that cool kid and so smart. And I actually went to high school with a guy who ended up at Yale and who was with Jodie in I guess they had the same major. And she was just this brilliant creature. And still, just the roles she chooses in her back-to-back Oscars, or I think they were back-to-back or a couple years apart. She's just brilliant. Iconic, and still to this day, I definitely would put her on that list as well.
Well, and she's inspirational because, without really realizing it, as a young girl, I watched her and she just showed me that options were available.
Yeah.
And the same thing with Lindsay Wagner. Oh my God, the Bionic Woman. Are you kidding me? I fucking love that show. I still love that show
too. I would watch it right now if it were available. I'm sure I can find it.
Yeah, I'm sure you can actually get, you can buy episodes, I think, on Amazon.
Oh.
And my favorite one, I don't know if you remember this one, but do you remember the one where the there was a Lindsay double and she would chew what looked like bubble gum and she would get the bionic kind of
powers,
strength, from this substance. Do you remember that episode?
I do remember the Lindsay double because then they got into a fist fight.
Yeah, they did.
Jamie Summers and her double got into a fist fight.
And then Jamie was in jail. They had the real one was in jail and the fake one was out. And it was, oh my God, I remember just so emotionally involved in that. And I watched it not too long ago because I purchased it on Amazon. It was a two-parter. And definitely. And then, of course, my mother, because my mother was an inspiration in that she was a single mother taking care of me and, just getting, having to pay the bills and, being a feminist. She didn't announce it or anything. She just was one.
She just did it, man.
Yeah. She was just there. She showed up.
I look at my mom too, who, is a super feminist, but at such a young, she was 19 when I was born, didn't go to college, but helped put my dad through undergraduate and graduate school and worked as a secretary when my dad was getting his MBA at Stanford. And my brother and I were alive. We were living on campus like little feral children because my mom was going to work every day and putting food on the table for us and then staying up late at night and typing all of my dad's papers for his MBA from Stanford.
Wow.
She's like, she says it now with a hint of resentment, but she's like, they should have given me an honorary degree. Damn it. He never would have graduated if I hadn't typed all those goddamn papers, and that I look back at that and here was this 26, 27 year old woman who was leaving work early, letting, you know, doing the best she could for us so that we were getting off to school. And I had a lot of responsibility at that time, but you know, they did it.
Yeah.
And, that's pretty amazing. And also, you know, my dad was a pretty awesome feminist as well. Being able to, in 1974, when men had the final word, and, you know, saying, all right, honey, you go ahead and put that food on the table and so that I can go and get this education. I think that's pretty rad too.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. I have that book out, American Woman, the Pole Dance. And there's a chapter called My Dad's a Feminist. And I just basically outline all the reasons he is one. And, you know, he's always, with me and my sister, always given us the idea that we can do anything we want. He's always encouraged us to pursue, you know, whatever kind of, you know, career we were looking for. He's helped us. You know, he's an overall good man. He had a little blip with his, taking a 5-year-old to see Clockwork Orange, but you know,
we all make mistakes.
You know, that was back in the sex, drugs, and rock and roll time. So I don't know. Maybe he was high. I don't know. He certainly evolved in that, because I remember, you know, he took me to see everything. I like I said, he took me to see Animal House and other R-rated movies. But then when my brother and sister came along, my brother is 12 years younger than I am, and my sister is 18 years younger with a different mother. So we're half siblings. But, you know, God, he would freak out when they would listen to things on Comedy Central. And I'm like, boy, have you changed?
Yeah, right. let me reenact the scene where he sings Singing in the Rain. You know, that scarred me as a teenager when I saw that thing.
Wow.
But you
yes,
know what?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I was kind of sheltered and kind of not. It's just, who knows?
Yeah.
But my dad, I remember, he took me and my little brother. So I was a fifth grader, and that means my brother was a first grader, to see Damien Omen 2.
Oh, my God.
I didn't sleep for the whole fucking summer. I was so freaked out. Damien Omen 2. My mom goes, what is wrong with you, Joe? Seriously, the first grader? Like, you know, we were
not the first grader. Yeah, well, I do remember this. I don't know if you remember the scene in A Clockwork Orange where there was a bust, or like, I think it was like a bust of a woman's rear end. So anyway, I remembered that. I saw the movie at least up until that point, because as I said, I didn't finish it. But you know, my mother and father were divorced and or separated, and I had spent the weekend with my father. And then I remember I was at the grocery store with my mother, and I was in that little, you know, compartment where a kid would sit and their legs would come through, and my mom's pushing me. She's like, oh, so what did you do with your dad this weekend? And I had really, really open-minded parents. So I said, well, Daddy took me to this movie that I didn't really like. And she said, well, what was it called? And I said, and I couldn't remember. And I said, it was something about a lemon. And she's like, a lemon? And she's trying to think. And I said, and there was this big statue of a fanny. And my mom went, A Clockwork Orange! She's like freaking out and screeching A Clockwork Orange. I'm like, yes, that's it. And then I know that my father got an earful from her. Like, what the fuck were you thinking? But
yeah, well,
you know, I mean, overall, my dad was a good father, and he was always very protective of me, and you know, and he would die for me. He just had one kind of blip. I to this day I tease him about it.
I get judged constantly. Being a parent is a really tough thing, because you want to do what's right for your kids, and you know, my two kids are very different. There are things I'm sure that I do with my son that when my daughter is his age, I may not do, just because of the way they both are. But I, you know, people are very quick to judge. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, I've done some fucked up shit as a parent that my kids have seen, that I've done to my kids, mm-hmm. you know, but I think we are open, and I'm the type of parent who, if I mess up, I try my best to talk it through and to kind of own it, as you know, we say. But a clock. Look at you. You turned out just fine. So yeah. What? Saw Clockwork Orange at 5. I saw my friend's mother and her dad doing 69 when right. I was 8. Okay. I mean, I walked in on that. I'm okay. Maybe that's why I'm a slut.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the thing is real life is real life. And there's a certain amount that you should shield children from, because there are concepts that they just can't understand no matter how you try to explain it. When they're a certain age, they just don't understand certain concepts. So it's better for them not to be introduced to it too early. But at the same time, I think the idea that you said, talking to your kids, and talking it through, people make mistakes all the time. And as the faster a child realizes that, I think the better for them. And then when they see their parent, acknowledges they're not perfect, I think it's a good positive thing. You know, instead of trying to pretend things are a certain way and brushing stuff under the carpet and not acknowledging, you know, all that leads to confusion and unrealistic expectations. As soon as you get out of your parents' house or, you know, whatever, I think it's just good to have reality, you know, teach reality, own your mistakes, talk to kids. And, you know, one of the other things somebody, we've kind of touched on this before, but somebody brought up on the thread when I asked what we can talk about today, the non-political stuff, they talked about the stupidity of abstinence-only education. And it's true. It's like we're seeing a lot of that, especially in the red states, this promoting of the abstinence only. And it's like, I don't have a problem at all with abstinence as long as there's also regular old sex education going along with that. Because, you know, people who are only learning abstinence only are the ones that walk away with more diseases and more pregnancies.
And you know who comes to mind? Josh Dugar. Or however you
pronounce exactly. That. Yeah. Isn't it Duggar? I thought it was Duggar.
I've always said Dugar, I swear to God, because I just refuse to get it right on principle. But yeah, that sort of shit happens.
Yeah, exactly.
Deviant behavior runs rampant. I mean, if it's there, it's there. But you're told that it's forbidden, that it's wrong. That also becomes sort of an evangelical thing, too, yeah. Which we know how that turns out when the Republican evangelical congressman ends up in the men's room with his dick in a hole.
Yeah.
You know that, but yeah, I agree with you 100%. It's absurd.
I'm all for, you know, just being frank with your kids about everything, about sex. If they're old enough to ask, then they're old enough to maybe not get the whole story, but it should be acknowledged by the parent, no matter what the subject is, whether it's sex or whatever. I mean, parents should just be frank with their kids, because that's life. The sooner you realize how life goes, the better equipped you'll be to handle it when it happens.
Yes.
You know, I mean, one of the things that I've never had to deal with is somebody close to me dying. And so, you know, I worry about that when eventually it's going to happen, you know, and it's like, I never had to deal with it, so therefore I know when it happens, it's going to be really jarring. Not that it's not jarring in other circumstances, but if someone has experienced it and gone through it, then they know what to expect. So it's kind of same logic goes to every, you know, with parents teaching their kids, give them that, I don't know, give them that experience, give them that reality. And then when they're older, it's not such a shock to their system.
Totally. Oh, wow. My kids have grown up. My father died when I was in my 20s, my late 20s. And so he's never met my husband. My children, obviously, have never met him. But they're very close with my mom. And they are very close with my husband's parents. And my husband's dad just died a year and a half ago. So the kids, we talk about them a lot. You know, they experience the pain of losing their grandfather, and then they experience the pain a little bit of not having my dad around, but we talk about him very fondly, and they talk about him as if, they talk about him with authority, like, Nano really liked this. Mm-hmm. And he had a great sense of humor. And tell me again about, you know, so there's like, it's a kind of a realistic, I think, approach to dealing with loss and also, celebrating, you know, who the person was. And 'cause they're always in your memory. I mean, mm-hmm. losing my dad 24 years ago was, is still very painful to this. At this time. But, it's tough.
Yeah, my mom lost her dad when she was 16. And it's still painful for her. I mean, obviously she's not crying about it every day, but it's, the pain is there.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Look, we started talking about feminist inspirations and now we're talking about people dying.
Well, that's because but it's just because we're talking about feelings and stuff that inspires us. And, you know, my dad, who was such a totally kick-ass feminist, when you were talking about your dad giving you and your sister, you know, advice, or you could be whatever you want.
Yeah.
I heard that, and we didn't have the term feminist back then when I was 9. And my dad said, if you want to be an astronaut, you better be willing to do the work, but sure.
Yeah.
Or whatever. And thank God we had some evolved dudes raising us, you know?
Yes, that really makes a difference. It's funny because I briefly lived with my aunt and uncle. Like I told you, I had lived in Russia. I was 12. And before I lived in Russia, I briefly lived with my aunt and uncle just for a short period of time. And they were a much more traditional family. You know, actually the kind of family that I wanted. It was to me like going and living in the Brady Bunch. Okay. And but I remember my uncle George, he would make these jokes, or he would like make these little, he thought he was being sly, and maybe he would make a crude sex joke. And I always got it. I always understood his joke, and I would, you know, either give him the side eye or I would laugh along, and he would always look at me and he'd say, "You're too smart." Yeah. It's like, sorry, I just get it. You know, yeah, I just get it.
That's a compliment. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I always took it as a compliment. But, you know, I when I lived with them for a very, like I said, brief period, I was kind of the problem child. But because my cousin Scott was very, he was 3 years younger than me, and I was 11, and I was just an instigator and an agitator, and I would pull him into my shenanigans. And my poor cousin Scott was just like the helpless victim. I was always looking for trouble, and his father was like, "Oh my God, that crazy Kimberly." Anyway,
I
blame Jodie Foster and Lindsay Wagner. It's all their fault.
Yeah, well, they're tough kids, and they're amazing and great role models. There are so many there. You know, I love all the women who right now are just out there and speaking up and speaking out. And I mean, Scarlett Johansson, for example, you know, she's probably 20 years younger than me, but she's taking a stand and she's speaking out against, Ivanka, who is not a beacon of feminism.
No.
And I think that those are important discussions that need to be, had at this time. And, you know, I like my little girl who's 9, she doesn't know any other way other than like being a feminist.
Yeah.
And for her, you know, she said to me, I swear to God, a 9-year-old said to me, "I miss Carrie Fisher," because she's another one. She's on the list. She goes, "I really miss Carrie Fisher, Mom." And I said, "Oh my gosh, so do I." And she said, "She made me feel like I could do anything."
Wow.
Isn't that a trip? That, wow. I mean, but that's awareness. That is kids listening. And that's a gift that we, mm-hmm. you know, can give this younger generation, is being open and talking. And I bet, you know, there are people out there who, you know, go to your Facebook page like I do every day to see what you're putting up there and what we can talk about and what we can start thinking about and how we can be active, you know, who would say that Kimberly A. Johnson is one of my feminist idols. Hmm. And I would say that. For me. And I love it. I love how open you are and the shit that comes out of your mouth, and that you're nothing's off the table with you.
Well, you and know? I feel the same. I mean, that's why I'm so happy to have you, you know, hosting the show with me, because I really appreciate the fact that you're also strong and outspoken and willing to just put it out there, because first of all, I think it's fun, you know, just to say it. And I think it's important. And I do get a couple, you know, every once in a while I get messages. There's one particular woman who actually messaged me about my book, The Virgin Diaries, and said how it saved her. It saved her from, I think she was a sex worker and she didn't want to be. And I didn't put together The Virgin Diaries for any other reason than just to let people know what it's like to have sex for the first time. But what she got from that book was that, hey, there's a whole nother way to go. I never realized this. And so she has kept me informed about what she's done since then. And I think in the 2014 midterms, she contacted me right before and said, I just want you to know that this is the first time in history that I have been prepared. I know every single issue. I know every single candidate and I'm voting.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, wow, that's so wonderful. You know, and that's why when I go run my mouth off sometimes and I look back and I think, oh my God, I maybe shouldn't have said that or I shouldn't have done that. I look back and I say, well, for whatever I shouldn't have done, it's all worth it because there are young, impressionable people out there paying attention. And if my big fat mouth gives them any kind of feeling like they have power, then I'm happy. I'll take it, even if it's one person.
And just getting the conversation started, you know, it is so important. And so I find that I'm more informed now than I have ever been because there was just so much at stake.
Me too.
It's something that I look forward to doing. I have my go-tos and I go there. You're one of them and you know that. And I soak it all up. I take it all. I read it all. I want to know, you know, where we stand and what can we do to make change.
Yeah.
Because damn it. If we don't, can you imagine if we just gave up? Can you imagine if we quit caring, quit running our mouths?
I can't imagine. I don't even want to imagine. I mean, sometimes I put on Facebook the other day that I felt like I'm losing faith. That didn't mean I was ready to give up. I just was losing faith. But, you know, you have those down days and then you get back up on your horse and you keep going. What we have to do.
Yeah. The other day during the tax day march, I was traveling with my family, so we couldn't participate. But that warmed my heart.
Yeah.
To see people, I mean, it was not the tax day march, the science march that happened.
Yes,
that
yes,
was
yes.
We were traveling. But then there was, of course, the tax day march. And I love that it's not going away. This, you know, we're staying committed. And so that restored a little bit of my faith. And it gives me something to go on. That and you know, fierce feminists all around. Cause we're a scrappy bunch.
We are. And we're only going to get scrappier with this orange fuckface dude.
That's right.
Well, I guess we should start wrapping up now. And as usual, it's been awesome talking to you. I mean, it's like just talking on the phone with my friend.
I know.
And that's really the show I want to have. Like, I want to have that kind of a show where it's just, you know, eventually we might have some guests come on. But for now, it's just nice because you and I are going to kind of learn about each other as we do this show.
For example, Moscow had no idea.
Well, I'll fill you with some funny stuff. The next time I'll have to remind me because I used to terrorize the Russian guards at the American embassy. And I'll tell you about that.
Anyway. I would love to hear it.
All right. Well,
always so fun. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. And we'll be back next month.
Yeah, baby.
All right, take care.
Pardon me, I'd like to say we do okay forever in blue jeans. Baby, tonight.